2017 Cattle Industry Convention here in Nashville, and we're talking as things really are starting to get cranked up. Colin Woodall, lead lobbyist in our nation's capital for the cattle industry. Colin, interesting times in D.C. right now. It's like almost in some ways, I imagine you feel like you're drinking from a fire hose with all the executive orders and the cabinet nominations and votes and confirmation hearings, and of course Congress working on things as well. What are you really watching the most right at this moment?
We're really watching these executive orders, Ron, because they have a huge impact on the country as a whole, but we have found they've had a huge impact on us. One yesterday, for example, the two-for-one rule is what we're calling it, where the federal agencies have to figure out the ways that they are going to roll back existing regulations to pay for any new regulations they want to put forward. That's something that could really benefit us, especially when we look at things like the GPSA rule, for example. So we've really been watching the executive orders, but at the same time also trying to encourage Congress, the Senate in particular, to pick up these nominations and get these cabinet people put in place as quickly as possible. Because until we start having people in permanent seats at USDA and the agencies, it's going to be really hard to have a lot of action on things that we need action on.
Of course, we do. Last time we talked, we didn't have a name yet when it came to Secretary of Agriculture. We have that name now in Governor Perdue. Do you feel like, you know, from all the tea leaves you're reading, is that going to be a choice that's going to be popular as far as the Senate Ag Committee and the Senate?
I think so. You know, all the feedback that we have received is people are optimistic and excited about Governor Perdue. You know, as always, there's going to be rocks thrown. We expect that. It's part of the process, but I don't think it's going to be anything that's going to derail his nomination. So hopefully Senator Roberts will be able to get that nomination hearing scheduled as quickly as possible so we can get him in place.
What you're hearing from maybe the Georgia cattle producers and others that have worked with the governor?
Oh, they're really excited. They have talked about his time not only as a state representative but also as governor and the good things that he did for all of agriculture, but especially livestock. From our perspective, we're really excited to have a veterinarian as Secretary of Agriculture. I think that's going to make a huge difference in a lot of the issues that we're working on. So we're very, very excited about the prospect of having Governor Perdue come in as secretary and pick up his job just as quickly as we possibly can get him in.
You would think that he would be definitely approaching a lot of these issues from that scientific, you know, fact-based type of perspective that a veterinarian would do.
I think that's going to bode well for us, especially as we talk about things such as USDA preparation and response to any outbreak of a foreign animal disease, specifically FMD, foot and mouth disease. I think he will understand the importance to be prepared, and also he'll definitely understand just how serious this disease is and what it means not only from an animal health standpoint but also from an international trade standpoint.
We're right on the edge of probably a committee vote on Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt to be EPA Administrator. You obviously heard him at his confirmation hearing, and you've seen some of the follow-up. You feeling still really, really good about the Attorney General?
We are, and as you can imagine, there's still just a lot of buzz among the agriculture community in Washington, D.C. about having the Attorney General come in and be the Administrator of EPA. When you look at his track record and all the rocks that he's thrown at EPA over the years, to be able to have him in charge, I think is going to be good, because maybe we can have a little common sense and science put back in the discussion of environmental regulation. And more importantly, we know that the president's been talking about rolling back waters in the United States. We know that's going to be a priority of General Pruitt when he comes in. So that alone would go a long way in helping agriculture take a big sigh of relief.
Tell me, mentioning WOTUS, obviously we've got this Supreme Court weighing in on who has jurisdiction. How does that really matter to this whole WOTUS debate? How does that fit in?
Well, it fits in because even though we know that the president and the new administrator will take a close look at trying to get the Waters of the United States rule rolled back, it's not going to be as simple process-wise as I think a lot of people expect it to be. So even though we will focus a lot of time on the administrative process to kill this, we can't abandon our other opportunities to try to kill it as well. It's a bit of the suspenders and belt approach, if you will, to trying to ultimately kill this. So that's why we still need to pursue our lawsuit and why we're really excited at the fact that the Supreme Court did take up this case to determine whether or not it will be at the appellate level or in the district level, which is where we want it, because we do believe we'll have a more favorable decision if we have this held at the district level.
Congress, we've got our two ag committees obviously getting organized. Senator Roberts already announcing first farm bill hearing next month, month of February in Manhattan. Your early thoughts as these guys start to try to circle the wagons and work on a 2018 farm bill?
Well, it's hard to believe that we're already talking about farm bill hearings in the 2018 farm bill, but alas, here we are. You know, for us, we know that it's going to be a fight. It always is, as we have the discussion about not only farm policy, but also how nutrition fits in it. But specifically for the cattle industry, we're going to be looking to make sure that we protect the conservation programs, protect research, hopefully find a little increase in research. And we also need to make sure that we are putting all the effort into providing an adequate vaccine bank for response of foot and mouth disease. And that's going to be a pretty hefty lift for us and also the Ag Committees to get that done. But we think it's a priority to make sure that we're protecting ourselves.
Coming back to that gypsy rule that you mentioned earlier, do you feel, you know, at this point, it seems like it's been caught for the most part in this executive order that the president has already put into place, basically freezing everything that the Obama administration did in their final days? What happens with gypsy at this point?
Well, GPSA is still something that we're going to have to address, because the underlying language that ultimately led to GPSA putting this regulation out to begin with is still in statute. So we're going to need to go in and hopefully in the Farm Bill process tweak that to a point that we can ensure that this is not going to interfere with cattle marketing opportunities. So even if we are successful in killing this rule all out, whether it's through these executive orders or through additional action by Governor Perdue when he becomes secretary, we still have work to do to protect ourselves in the future.
As you work with the membership here in Nashville, I know you've got several policy things you're going to be talking about. One that has been kind of an ongoing thing over the last several meetings now has been the marketing issue, transparency, liquidity. Anything you think, you know, you see some things moving forward here at this meeting?
Our NCBA CME Working Group has done a tremendous amount of work since we were all together in San Diego a year ago. And I think the area where we've probably made the most progress is in putting together some ideas of how we can improve the contract specifications for the live cattle futures contract. That's going to be talked about here in Nashville. We expect there may be some policy put in place. If that's the case, we can work with CME to get those implemented. And I think that could go a long way in trying to help us tamp down the market a little bit, especially in regards to volatility.
One last thing, as far as one of the things I know that you were really excited about with the election of the Trump team, the fact that he had talked very strongly about tax reform, including death tax reform or elimination. It seems like that's on track.
It is on track. The president has named the death tax specifically as one thing he wants to get rid of. Since there is a Republican Congress in place, our chances of getting that done are the best that we have had in years. And we know that we have a lot of favorable response from House and Senate members alike. So this is going to be a great opportunity for us to push forward to try to kill this death tax once and for all.
You feel that there's the means to be able to, you know, basically pay for this? Because I know we had that temporary elimination for a while that then has circled back around. Can we get this thing where it is truly permanent?
I think we can. You know, we're still working out the math on that, working with both the Ways and Means Committee and the Senate Finance Committee. So we've got some more details to put in place. But as far as just having the opportunity to talk about it, we're just glad that we have that, because we haven't had that in quite some time.